This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 283 for the week ending Saturday, August 1st, 2015. Hello, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as Captain Jeff. And joining me today from Georgia, we have Miss Maria Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Apparently, I'm on timeout and can't talk today.
Oh, okay. Well, joining us also from Montana is Father Corey Stika.
Howdy, all. And there is a rodeo. Matter of fact, there's a rodeo happening just down the road here tomorrow. So.
Okay, excellent. Oh, we're getting that static back again.
Oh, it's me.
Oh, it must not have been the phone. Oh, well. So hello everyone, and you may notice that this is not the normal SQPN Catholic Weekend Studio 1A in the headquarters building in Roswell, Georgia. I am on a trip, but it worked out. I actually was able to do the show anyway. It was just one leg up from Atlanta to Indianapolis today, and of course you would just assume that I would be in Indianapolis, Indiana, but no, we normally are, but today they decided, because of some kind of a convention going on in Indy, that they would send the air crews to a reasonably close hotel. Well, apparently the folks that made that decision don't have any idea about the geography of Indiana. They sent us down to Bloomington, which is an hour and 15 minutes or so drive, and then of course throw in some construction on the weekends, because nobody drives the freeways on the weekends. And so here you are, or here I am. Finally, we got to the hotel, and I scrambled and put everything out, and I'm broadcasting. We're live. It's great. Everything is just fine now. So,
I'm sure somebody told whoever plans your hotel stays, oh yeah, we're in the Indianapolis area.
They probably did, and not really, you know, thoroughly investigating this claim. They went ahead and did it. But we made some phone calls on our van ride down here and said, what's the deal here? You know, why are we going to a different state? Not really, but it felt like it.
Feels like it, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Are you in the same state?
It is actually the same state. Yeah, this is the
state of disbelief, right? That this is where you are.
What is it? The University of Indiana, I guess, or Indiana University? I don't know. I should know that. Apparently, they're Big Red, because everywhere we went in this town, there are signs that say. But you can tell it has a kind of a college town feel to it. So kind of nice. Although I'm spending it here in the hotel room. Looks like it's a nice day out there. I think it was about 75 degrees, sunny, all that kind of stuff. So, anywho, how are you all doing?
Super good.
Super fly. So, you were going to tell us something about being late and Cuban time and weddings. What is?
Oh.
Come on, Maria.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Yes, Cuban time. Cuban time is, so you know how Anglo-Saxon time is. You know, you show up places on time. In fact, my father-in-law used to say, "If you're on time, you're 5 minutes late." Mm.
Oh, really?
So,
I guess I'm late all the time.
My father-in-law used to say. So John likes to be everywhere early,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really jive well with the culture in which, you know, most of our friends are and family, which is essentially that we'll tell you the party's at 7, but we really mean 9:30. So nobody really shows up for things on time, and let's just say our sense of time is fluid.
Yeah.
And
what's the hurry?
Two invitations. What's the hurry? You get there. So we get there. So I'm always mad because we get there at 7 o'clock. We get there at 5 minutes to 7. And the party's not going to start for another couple of hours. So he's ready to leave the party, and the people are starting to, you know, get there.
Yeah, he's out the door. Well, see ya. Good to see ya.
And he's, oh, well, what a boring party, because it's not starting until later. They just say 7 to get you agitated about thinking about maybe starting to get ready at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we had... it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 2 wedding invitations. We had wedding invitations that were going to go to his family and friends, and then we had wedding invitations for the rest of the crew. One said 12:30, one said 1 o'clock. We got married at 1 o'clock.
So for the ones you know are late.
They got the 12:30 invitation.
Oh, I see. You sent out 2 separate invitations.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
With 2 different times on them.
Ah, okay. Very, with very interesting.
Yeah, yes.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So.
I think there's a lot of cultures.
So the Cuban American. Where time is fluid. I think,
yeah, we talk here about Indian time. Same thing. You know, the Native Americans show up when they show up. It's 5 minutes
fluid.
Before. If it's 5 minutes after, they show up.
Yeah. Well, I guess you get there. So how do you adapt to that? You know, you just I guess you have to be adaptable. You know, you have to understand.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's one of those things where sometimes you have to be fluid and sometimes you just have to say, okay, you know, here's an example for Mass. You just don't stress about when people show up. If Mass starts at 9, starts at 9. People show up at 9:15, well, that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't...
Because Mass started at 9. You don't hold Mass.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, but you know, if you... It's so funny, though, you hear about priests who've done that where, okay, so everybody shows up at 9:05. So then they started Mass at 9:05. Well, then people got used to that. They started showing up at 9:10. You know, and it just kind of get pushing.
Well, that's how... It's me, isn't it?
Yeah, I was muting you to see if it was you. Yeah, I think it's you. Whatever you're doing there, it's all kinds of crazy... noise.
I'll go home. Oh no, I am home. I don't know what to tell you. You want me to do this some other way?
That's all right.
Is it terrible? Is it such a distraction?
It's distracting a little bit.
Oh my gosh, I can't even hear it. Well, all right. I'll mute and unmute myself when I'm not talking, so that I can just talk like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Or you could just start talking and we'll just kind of lip sync. We'll kind of say what we think you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So go ahead. Well,
I have nothing more to say.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask Father Corey. He said something about there is a rodeo in town and something about the state fair. So what's going on over there?
Well, it's actually the county fair. It's the Phillips
County Fair.
And it is the longest running fair in Montana. It's celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. So they really pulled out all the stops for it. Last night we had a concert where the opening band was Casey Donahue Band. They've got a few songs. If you listen to country music, you might have heard. But the headliner was Clay Walker, who he's been a country music artist for 10, 15 years. I mean, he's very well known, and a lot of songs that, you know, he's one of those artists that you probably will hear. You'll hear songs from him and go, oh, okay, I know him. It was a great concert. It really was a fantastic concert. Outdoors at the grandstand, you know, they got the huge grandstand, seats like 1,200 people. Pull up this big trailer stage, which was actually kind of cool. The whole stage is basically a trailer, and it just kind of folds out. You know, it lifts up and folds out, and there's the stage. It sounds like fun, exactly. It was a blast. It really was a great concert. For those not watching the video, Maria just held up a sign saying, "It sounds like fun." Yes, yes, it is. good way to
I'm
handle
going
this.
I'm to be step. A pain in your butt today with this thing.
I don't know if you're reading
I'll
the.
I'll just be participating in speech bubbles.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're reading the chat room, they're saying the background snowy sounds are loud, and then Mike says it sounds like the tide is coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
So apparently Maria has moved near the ocean or something. I don't know.
Oh, and there she's must be resetting her connection or something.
She decided to heck with you guys. I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to waste my time.
But no, the concert was fantastic. It really was a great concert, and they had a good crowd. You know, it's kind of sad because we're a very rural area. I mean, there's less than 4,000 people in the entire county. Mm. And the county is about, what did I figure, about 4,000, 5,000 square miles. Mm-hmm. It's a huge county, but there's nobody in it. Well, they've been having concerts where there's only like 500 people there the last couple of years. So this year it was really nice because the grandstand was full and the grassy area in between the grandstand and the stage was full. They probably had easily 1,800 people there for this concert.
Nice.
Which, for a rural area like that, is huge. But people are traveling from, you know, a fairly decent distance. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there are people that traveled 100, 200 miles to come see Clay Walker, because he mm-hmm. is such a big name in country music. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic show until the lights went out. Literally,
what happened?
They lost power to their light system, their light and LED system.
Uh-huh.
It was so funny. Just all of a sudden it went dark right at the end of a song. And it's like, okay. And they're kind of playing their little interlude music.
Oh, you could still hear the sound, though. They still had power
The sound was still fine. Oh, I mean, okay. The speakers and, you know, the sound system was working perfectly.
Yeah.
It was just the lights went out and the big LED screen, you know, big, you know, 100, 200 foot or inch LED screen they had behind the performers went out. And so everybody's going, okay, what's going on? Is this a part of the show? And, you know, and then Clay Walker comes on and says, well, you guys cheered so loud, we lost our lights. So if everybody turns on their cell phones, and so people held up their you know, their flashlights on their cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And then they got spotlights going and turned on the lights on the grandstand itself. So at least there was light for the rest of the show, but it was just kind of, I wonder what happened. Somebody hit a switch they weren't supposed to hit or something.
Or something. Overloaded the circuit or whatever. And
yeah, exactly.
Did they ever get the lights back on?
Never did.
Wow.
Never did. They just, they did. Well, like I said, they've got big floodlights on the top of the grandstand. So at least that way they could continue the show and people could see and everything and he could see. And so it worked out, but it was just kind of funny how that happened. But it was nice to see that big of a crowd, that big of a, and it was a big performance. I mean, it was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, they had a street dance out behind on the street or the road behind the grandstand there. It was the band was a group called Trial by Fire, which two of the members are parishioners of ours. They're Catholic parishioners. So I had to go there and spend some time visiting and enjoying the music and everything. And that was a lot of fun. Didn't get home till almost 1 o'clock.
What was the style of their band?
Though they're very much, you know, cover music, so they do a little bit of pop, classic country, classic rock, things like that. They're really good music. I mean, they're a very good band.
Mm-hmm.
They joke, though, their name is Trial by Fire because when they learn a new music, they put it out there, Trial by Fire. So whether they get it right or not, they're still going to put it out there.
That's good. It's one way of doing it, right?
Yeah.
And you just hope for the best.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good to see the crowds and everything. Because again, you know, you go to that fair, and because it's been dwindling, because it's small town. There's not a lot of people around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see crowds.
Yeah, you're not used to seeing that, right?
You know, so that was nice. And of course, the beer gardens were well patronized, as you can imagine.
So, what kind of temperatures are you guys having now?
Oh, 90s.
Oh, so it's still hot.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is typical end of summer weather. So like mm-hmm. right now, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's, you know, beautiful blue Montana sky, and it'll be a high of the lower 90s today. So
that sounds kind of like the weather we're having. Well, Atlanta. I'm not in Atlanta, but right now too here. Although it's not quite so hot here in Indiana, but it's just like a cloudless sky and big high pressure.
Oh yeah. No, it's beautiful. I mean, it's wonderful. And this is typical Montana weather for this time of year. We'll probably get a big storm here coming up pretty quick. You know, that usually happens. You'll get a storm or two move in the middle of summer. But otherwise, it's warm. It's hot. It's sunny. At least it's not humid. That's one thing we definitely have that Atlanta doesn't have. It's not humid.
Does it ever get humid there?
Occasionally, but you know what we consider humidity and what Atlantic considers humidity is two very different things.
That's like when I'm in Southern California, they talk about, you know, oh gosh, it's so darn humid, and it's like 30% or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 50%, and everybody's going, oh, I can't handle the humidity. Atlanta's like, oh, it's not so humid today. You know?
Yeah, it's just nice and dry.
Yeah, no, it is kind of funny though. You notice the difference when you're so used to, because I think Montana usually sits about about 30% humidity on average, mm-hmm. maybe even a little lower than that. Winter, it gets down as low into teens for humidity because it gets so dry during the winter.
But that's when you want some humidity a little bit.
Exactly, exactly. Although it gets cold when you have that humidity then. Mm-hmm. It's really cold. But yeah, so it's the fair has been a lot of fun so far. Been good crowds. There will be a rodeo on every Sunday during the county fair weekend. They'll have a rodeo there. So Sunday afternoon.
Well, so a little bird told me that you were thinking about to drum up some business for the parish, that you were gonna buy a whole bunch of helium balloons and a lawn chair.
Oh yes. You know, that sounds like a great idea. Put a banner behind there.
Yeah.
You know, and then parachute down. That'd be a great way to do it too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think you should do that. Definitely will cause some excitement.
As an advertisement, if you want to know what we're talking about, listen to Airline Pilot Guy, about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that. But we also talked about it, I think, on that around the same time frame on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
Somebody did that over the Calgary Stampede. Not a bright idea.
Well, Maria's...
I'm doing over the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah. Maria was... I'm communicating with Maria as we were speaking here. And I said, are you gonna come back? Because she's still gone. And she says... her husband John told her that the Comcast truck is down the street, so apparently they're working on whatever internet connectivity troubles or whatever there. So
they have internet fun stuff.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So hopefully she'll get a connection and she'll rejoin us. But you may notice that our other two co-hosts, Steve and Sarah, are not here as well today. I forgot exactly what Sarah's doing, but I'm sure it's very important.
She's at the lake. She's out at the lake.
Oh, that's right. I'm sure she's working hard at the... Well, she's not working hard at all, but she's enjoying some well-deserved recreation.
Oh, absolutely.
And Steve is up to his elbows in convention stuff, I'm sure. So,
yeah, I looked on Facebook, and he's still posting pictures, so he's still alive. He hasn't gone into a coma or something like that from all the work he's had to do.
That's good.
I'm sure he's... very busy. I'm sure it's going well, though, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll hear. I think next weekend we'll hear from him because he should be.
Yeah, I hope
he's
back.
With it your Monday or Tuesday, I think it finally finishes up.
Good. Good.
So
glad he's going to be back.
Yeah, I think he'll be glad to be back because he'll be done.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a huge weight off his shoulders.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see. Anything going on in the news? I should probably look at the finely and tenderly prepared notes that our producer Lynn made for us to see what might be good to talk about. And let's see here. Click on that and see what we have here. It says, just making sure there's not some feedback or something like that we should be talking about. Let's see. Oh, looks like our friend Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, has some kind of a special going on. Let's see. If you foodie plus drinky equals free shipping when you buy both with special offer code 16200. Okay, so it looks like they must be using the same publisher, right?
Yeah, they're both through Liguri Publishing.
Okay.
So I think that's the connection that got Sarah into through Jeff Young.
Very good. Okay, so it looks like foodie plus drinky equals free shipping when you buy both the Around the Table with the Catholic Foodie, our friend, wonderful chef and just a wonderful person all around, Jeff Young, and our own Sarah Vabulous, the Catholic Drinky, the Catholic Drinky's Guide to Homebrewed Evangelism. If you buy both of those through Liguri Publications, you get free shipping. So that's very cool. Yep. And of course, just a reminder, if you just want Sarah's book, if you contact her directly, she can, you know, sign it herself and make you some kind of a deal, I'm sure.
I think she's got a link through her page that you can go to through the CatholicDrinky.com. I think you can go through there and order it directly from her. And one thing she mentioned is if you order it from the they get a little more of a cut.
Yes, absolutely. So
which helps them out a lot.
You're cutting out the middleman, and in doing so, the author usually gets a little bit more money that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this article in relevantmagazine.com. Eight things Christians need to do more. Oh, need to do more on social media. Well, you know, we're kind of involved in social media. Father Corey and I and everybody else. And in fact, this, I guess, podcasting is sort of like social media. It's new media.
Yep.
So, and we use social media quite a bit in doing this form of evangelization. And so this person writes, who is this person? I don't see who it is. It's by Neil Samudre. He says, I'm terrified that because of social media, the entire world can see my words. It means I can hurt more than just the people in front of me every time I choose not to live like Jesus. But what I've come to discover is many people don't realize this cost. We still treat social media as if it is an exemption from being responsible for our words and actions. Boy, I've seen that. I'm sure you have too, Father Corey.
Oh, yes.
Where people, for some reason, they think they're in front of a computer or their phone, and they can just say horrible things to people and not really think about, you know, hurting people's feelings or whatever, and they would never, ever dream of saying that to the person in person.
No. You know, and it's the sad part is it's not just, you know, the trolls, not just people who are just being, you know, 15-year-old kids in their parents' basement being trolls.
No.
It's people who claim to be Christians.
That should know better.
People who claim to be Catholics who... You know, they'll criticize the Pope in the most vulgar terms possible.
Mm.
And just, well, I'm speaking truth to power or something like that. You know, they'll use some ridiculous reason and just there's no charity. There's no love there. There's no, frankly, it's not attractive. It's not joyful, that's for sure.
No.
You know, we're supposed to be evangelizing using this new media and we treat each other like dirt.
Yeah. Absolutely. So his article goes on to say, as soon as I can find the window again, it's right here. Number one, these are a few guidelines, according to Neil, that we should that will help us point us in the right direction. Number one, strive for connection, not attention. There are two kinds of social media users, one who goes on with a look at me perspective and one who goes on with a let's connect perspective. Social media was made for the latter. So, you know, it shouldn't be for, you know, just, hey, look at me, look what kind of great things I'm doing and, you know, how great I am. It should be for connecting with people. And that's pretty self-explanatory there. Be transparent, but not too transparent. It says, Jesus revealed personal information to his disciples, not to everyone. This means we should strive to be transparent with those who love us and gather us around in real life. While social media opens our lives to the entire world doesn't need to know about everything. Be transparent, but mostly with your close friends in real life.
You mean
I
don't...
Can I add something?
Oh, ho! I hear another voice. You're back.
Hello.
Hello.
The waves are crashing in, Michael.
Oh, okay. You sound great without the camera on.
Oh, good.
And your picture is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's my beautiful picture. I want to add to that because also we need to be very considerate of the people who are in our lives. You know, I mean, I'm happy to talk about, you know, generally culturally people not showing up on time to my wedding, for example, but you know, in social media it would not be appropriate for me to say my mother-in-law can't be anywhere on time
or
something like that, because which is not true, by the way, but
as an example,
you know, I'm not what I'm comfortable sharing about myself is not the same thing as me sharing things about my husband or my children, because it impacts them.
Well, that's just it. And we don't need to know every detail of your life either. You know, unfortunately, I think some people feel like they need to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I don't know really if I need to know that much information. Sorry. You know.
Yeah, but is that sometimes possible because people don't really have any close friendships? And then the friendships they have are through the digital media. And,
absolutely. And you see that. It's so interesting when someone, say, for example, leaves Facebook. You know, they decide that, you know, Facebook is a near occasion of sin for them or something like that. people act like they're losing a friend, like they are losing someone that they have spent their life with, that this person has just completely cut them off. And this is someone you talk to over the internet. You've never met this person. You don't know this person from Adam other than what you've spoken to on Facebook.
Well, now, hold on now. Can that actually be an unauthentic relationship? I think it can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no question that relationships require presence. But I think it's possible. I mean, you have these yeah, there are people that I feel very close to online that I've never met. Not a lot.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a difference. I don't think that's what we're saying, sometimes people treat everyone that has access mm-hmm. to the information mm-hmm. they're putting out there as their very close sure. friend.
Yeah.
Sure. So those 700 people that are my Facebook friends, right, are yeah. all authentic friends of mine? No.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Because I've done Lent and Fast from social media, where I've restricted my use. I think that gets a little too, a little too much.
Yeah.
So
you got to know your boundaries, I guess.
Exactly.
And you have to be reasonably.
I guess that they're different for all of us.
Yeah, and you have to have some reasonable expectations for people's exactly. privacy. So number three, ask yourself: could I say the same thing in front of someone? Let's see. What does this say? Social media distances us from the impact of our words. Okay, we were talking about that right at the beginning before we started reading these guidelines. We could say things and then walk away from our keyboard being blind to how others react to them.
Exactly.
But just because we can't see the impact of our words in real life doesn't mean our words don't make a splash. If we're saying things that aren't words we would say in front of someone's face, then we shouldn't say them at all.
Right.
Yeah, and irony doesn't carry very well on social media. No. For all the emoticons that you have to help you convey that message.
Irony, sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Well,
kidding.
Just because you put sarcasm tags around it mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's going to blunt the effect unless the person knows you. I mean, it's one thing if someone is, very good at using sarcasm as kind of a regular part of their life and people know that. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You look at people who do, think of it like Eye of the Tiber, the posts that they have. Everybody knows they're satire. Everybody knows.
Not everybody does. That is my
everybody
favorite
who's paying
thing
attention
do.
Knows.
My favorite
and that's
thing
half the fun.
Is to
that's
troll the com boxes in those satire sites to see how many people get
yes.
checked up about
everybody who reads an article and then looks at the About Us page of the site knows it's satire. But that means that if you know they're satire, you're just you're gonna take what they say and it's satire. You're not gonna take it seriously. But for someone who just says, "Well, I think I think everybody who likes abortion are baby killers," sarcasm. Yeah, that's
okay. But how much of that is really sarcasm?
First of all, there's not sarcasm there. Secondly, and I've mm-hmm. seen stuff like that. Absolutely. And frankly, if it gets you a punch in the nose, you probably shouldn't post it online.
Yeah, the kidding, not kidding hashtag.
No.
So I've noticed that in my experience of doing, engaging in media, especially podcasting, and then people like writing some kind of a comment, and I'm sure it's the same thing in the blogging world. And when you actually respond to what they're saying, it's like amazing how they'll immediately kind of change the whole tone, especially if it's somewhat negative,
mm-hmm.
because they're almost like flabbergasted that you are actually reading what they were saying or responding mm-hmm. to that. And then they realize, ooh, I guess my words really, really do mean, carry sometimes. Some weight.
Yeah. Many people will do that. Many people will kind of go, oh, wait. And they'll kind of back up from their statements.
Mm-hmm.
But then once in a while you get those people where they're just caustic.
Yeah,
they're that's all they ever do. They're just they'll double down on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the true trolls, right?
You hate kittens because you disagree with me on the Pope, that kind of thing.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Well, obviously. What's wrong with that statement?
So probably we should move on to number 7. No racist comments. Well, duh.
Well, duh.
Why would you do that? That's and then avoid being mean to bloggers. No. Nah. I don't know why.
I guess any attention is good attention in that regard. I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing here. Here, number 5 is a good one. Learn to listen better.
Right.
Because, man, you see that a lot. I get comments from somebody saying, well, in this episode you said this. And I said, well, and then I go back and listen to it. I go, there's no way I said that.
Yeah.
And then I listen to what I said.
Are
I go,
listening to that?
Yeah. I say, well, maybe you should go back and hear it. This is the time mark. Start listening right here. And I think you heard me say something I didn't say or whatever. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Well, believe me.
Well, but you know, the listening thing is so important to us in our culture. We just don't listen anymore. No. We're not having conversations. Number one, the whole concept of dialogue is dead. But we're really not listening to the other person. What we're doing is that we're listening to sound bites so that we can prepare our response.
Exactly. We're preparing our arguments. And, you know, I've seen that as a priest in real life, you know, not online, where I had someone say that in a homily, I said that there are only 4 people in heaven. And I'm sitting there going, what? I would never say such a stupid thing. Foolish. Why would I ever think that? But
please,
I thought,
tell me you
it.
Don't tell the parishioner when you're correcting him that you're saying, oh, stupid.
Yeah, no, I didn't say this. This was, you know, when I read the letter where they wrote that.
Oh.
And I'm like, I would never say such a ridiculous thing. Why would they assume I would? And I went back and I thought about it. And there was a homily where I was making the point that we don't assume people are in heaven. You know, mm-hmm. You know, around here it's very popular of, oh, so and so is an angel. They're a good person, and I know they're in heaven. And I know that's not just around here. That's pretty universal in the United States right now.
And then Father Corey says, of course there are only 4 people in heaven.
Yeah.
No, quiz. Who are they?
Where are they? Well, I know there's more than that because there are more saints than that. But
not you.
So I'm sorry, continue with your story.
But what I had said was that we can't judge who's in heaven. Of those that I have personally met, off the top of my head, I can think of 4 people that if I was to argue were in heaven, you know. But even them, I'm not going to say for sure they're in heaven. You know,
right there. I just heard him say, didn't you hear him say it, Maria? There are 4.
Be such a Debbie Downer, Father.
There are 4 people in heaven.
Right? Because, you know, silly things like wanting people to pray for the souls in purgatory, you know, silly things like that.
Well, here's a danger. You know, when you go to one funeral after another funeral after another funeral, and you keep saying over and over and over again, well, we know they're in heaven. We know they're in heaven. Well, basically, what that, I think, tells everybody is that everybody goes to heaven. And there is no hell. And that's the danger.
And that was
except
what
for
I was
cats thinking. And dogs.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Dogs go to heaven.
Well, let's see. Who wrote that book? Was it that wonderful scholar, writer, lecturer, and professor at Boston College? And I love him. I just can't think of his
Peter
name.
Peter
Kreeft? Oh, Kreeft. Yes. Kreeft. Peter Kreeft. Oh, what a wonderful. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, so, I mean, but. The problem was this parishioner didn't hear my point.
Yeah.
All she heard was 4 people are in heaven,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't what I said. But that's, you know, she wasn't listening. She also latched onto that, and that was what I had said.
Yeah.
Not listening to my larger point.
You know, Father, what cracks me up, I wouldn't it be fun to be in that office in the chancery where the hate mail goes?
Oh, yeah.
Where the complaints go, because I'm sure that you I would love to be the person reading them all day long, because I know that there was a time when administratively I was taking like student complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, I was not in my current job, but before I was teaching college and high school, I was like an associate department chair. And so I would have to listen to these complaints, and I'm like, in what galaxy would anybody say what you're claiming?
Exactly.
And And but you know, you have to follow through with it, so you have to have the uncomfortable conversation of, do you remember the scenario when this happened? What did you say? Do you remember? Okay, let's have a conversation about that. And sometimes people do, and it's hard, even on this show. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, or we, you know, maybe go a little over the top in something. So things can happen. But for the most part, it just has to be hilarious to be the person looking at these complaints and just saying, well, this one may have some merit. Let's follow up.
Exactly.
Whereas, no, this guy probably never said there were four people in heaven. There's a story here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no there to put, you know, to use that phrase. But yeah, it was just, we need to make sure we don't fall into that trap, because it is so easy, even when you've got text in front of you. When you're reading it on Facebook, it's so easy to do that. You pick a sentence. Oh, there's your whole argument right there, this one little sentence. And if you read further, he clarifies it much better.
Yeah.
But we pick that one sentence out of context, and that's your whole argument.
It is so true.
So what's the takeaway here? That we need to be patient, and we need to get context, and we need to just calm down before we rail off on Combox or something, right?
Absolutely.
As it says in the article here, rather than being quick to voice your opinion, digest the words you're reading first. Mm-hmm. Offer a thoughtful response only after listening.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway.
Absolutely. And I think, Lynn, make sure you make a note of it. The title of today's show, there are only four people in heaven.
Exactly.
Guys, how hard is it for me to talk to you and not be able to see you so we can engage?
Well, we hear you. That's all we need.
Speaking over you.
Well, do you hear the music?
Yes, yep. I do.
Good. That means it's time for us to say a quick word of thanks to the friends of SQPN. Who are they? And why are they here? They are, many of them, right now, live with us in the chat room. Thanks to, and many of you listening to the podcast via the audio only version. And we do appreciate you. The friends of SQPN are the people that not only support us through listening and praying for us, but also by giving us some of their hard earned money. And if you want to become a friend of SQPN as well, and you have the resources to do so, head over to sqpn.com/donate. And there you'll find very convenient ways to sign up to become a friend of SQPN. It could be $10 a month or $15 a month, $1,000 a month. Come on, you know, don't hold back. Or just a one-time donation even. Even if it's 50 cents, it all adds up and it really helps. So head over there, look at that. Also, a very painless way to help us out is when you're doing your shopping on Amazon.com. I mean, come on, you do shop on Amazon, right? So I know I do. Head over to sqpn.com first, click on the amazon.com banner, and there we have a few links based on the country of origin. You can click on that link, and then you go back to your shopping. Everything works the same way as it normally does. You're not excluded from items that aren't available on the entire Amazon store. Everything's there. Everything is normal. It's just that a small percentage of the purchase will go to SQPN, and it really helps us out. Little by little, adding up all of your purchases, it really helps fund the new evangelization efforts at SQPN. And then finally, of course, the Bluehost.com, Bluehost web hosting. If you're looking to start a new blog, a podcast, or sell something or whatever, Bluehost is a great place to go. They're very helpful, customer service, very inexpensive pricing plans. And again, they really help us out with when people sign up using the link at sqpn.com. And that would be sqpn.com/Bluehost, or just look for that banner on the SQPN page that you happen to be perusing. And I know that most of you watching right now live are looking at one of those sqpn.com pages. And so there you go. Hey, if we can do this darn podcast, so can you. So get your Bluehost.com web hosting service today. All right. When is this thing going to end so I can stop talking? Gosh.
I'm sitting here tweeting.
Are you? Okay, you want me to play it again so you can do some more tweeting?
There you go.
This is
I'm tweeting.
Maria's
I'm
tweeting music. All right, I'm let's see.
I thought I would periscope it.
But then I realized, I've
got my head things on.
No, don't periscope. That's going to take your bandwidth, and then it's going to destroy everything, and we're not going to see you anymore.
Exactly.
No. I turned my phone back on. Is it still waves crashing?
No. Everything is. Everything sounds fine. Wow, listen to that. It's quiet. Wow. Wait a minute.
Yeah, there we go.
Ah, that's
We haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah. So true.
So I'm just looking at the soundboard. What else can I play?
Uh-oh, he's getting bored.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't do that. Well, you know what I can play? How about this?
Hi, this is Pat Gohn from the Among Women podcast, and I'm also a member of the board of directors.
And that's not what I was going to play.
I'm definitely going to miss you.
Okay. Well, apparently the last time I used the soundboard was when Steve Nelson was leaving the show.
Oh, you were going to play the goodbye to Steve?
Yeah. Let's don't do that. Where is the picks of the week sound thing? Where is it? Here it is. Ah, I just saw Pat Gohn, and so I just hit that one.
The mix.
Here's one we haven't heard from in a while. I just saw a tweet not long ago from Miss Angela.
Oh, wonderful.
And she said that she was digging through some of her old items or throwing things away or whatever, and there was this piece of paper that said, "Don't forget to turn on the H2 or hit record on H2. Like, and she'd hold up, you know, to remind me. And if you're wondering, I have the record button pushed in on my H5.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah, that is a good thing. It makes it a lot easier for me. All right.
You're a mess.
I am a mess. That is for sure. Who would like to go first for their pick of the week?
Yeah.
I have a very good pick of the week.
Okay, what?
So I don't know in my absence if you guys talked about the Planned Parenthood debacle. And
horrors.
Did you talk about
it? No, we didn't.
No.
Well, I don't. Well, we don't have time now to recap it. But let me just tell
well,
you.
Well, we can't actually. We do. We have 18 minutes, so we're good.
Well, it also you were just trying to cut us short. It was going nowhere.
I was running out of things to talk about. That's time for the picks of the week.
Yeah.
No, but go ahead.
I mean, this whole Planned Parenthood thing, number one, we know it's awful. And then number two, with these videos that are coming out and getting released, they're really horrific. And besides the horror of the acts, there's also the horror of the souls that are being affected by this. You know, the people who are the perpetrators behind it. And it's just a terrible, terrible thing. And Catherine Lopez, who writes at the National Review, all have worked with a pro-life commission in New York, the Archdiocese of New York. And yesterday they had a holy hour. They had a day of prayer and fasting and then a holy hour for mercy, healing, and reparation. And it was a great concept. To meet, I think, I can't remember the name of the church. I think it was St. Vincent, in Manhattan. But part of the call was for everyone who'd seen that and they weren't in New York to go on and go to a holy hour themselves and to have this hour of prayer. And so I was lucky enough to be able to already have something scheduled on the side of town where my church is. So I was able to participate, you know, spiritually, right? But that I think it's a good idea to continue to do it. I think that there's a lot that needs to be done in our world, not just with Planned Parenthood, but this idea of having a holy hour for reparation, I think is a great idea. So that's what my pick of the week is. I don't know if it's St. Vincent's or the National Review or Catherine Lopez.
Good luck, Lynn,
all of the above.
Figuring out where that's coming
figure
from.
Figure that one out.
Lynn could figure that one out.
Or you could just put adoration.
Adoration.
That's what I would do. www.adoration.com.
Adoration.com.
I'm not sure if that goes anywhere or not.
Quick, go buy it.
I have a feeling somebody has already gotten that website, that domain. Yeah, that...
And let's not go experiment and see what it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it while I'm recording here, because you might hear me and aghast.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to mention the fact that it's going to take some of the really bad bandwidth that I am using here in the hotel away.
What
so,
hotel doesn't have absolutely flawless...
Yeah, high-speed internet, right.
Quote, unquote.
I think that they think that when you distribute internet via Wi-Fi... that is high-speed internet.
No, you have to pay. Don't you usually have to pay a little extra for it?
That's the thing they're doing now. It used to be not. Yeah. It used not. Well, whatever. Now.
It used to be just the regular terrible stuff, and then if you want the real high speed, you have to pay.
Right. So they give you like a little trickle of bandwidth for free. So now they can say that they have free Wi-Fi. But if you want Wi-Fi that you can actually use, then you have to pay more. No, I don't have that option here. They just have, you know, the Wi-Fi. That's what you have, the Wi-Fi. Yep. So I'm not sure if they charge for it or not, but being a Delta employee, they gave it to us for free. So
that works.
Yeah, definitely. Free works for me. But anyway, going back to the Planned Parenthood debacle and all that kind of stuff, it's I've heard that, you know, this may be the first time that some of the people that have been either ambivalent, not ambivalent, but what's the word? Like, you know, whatever, you know, they've been supportive of Planned
Apathetic.
Okay, is that right? Apathetic and ambivalent, whatever, not really didn't care, but they in general supported Planned Parenthood because they believed it did whatever it did. And now that all these stories are coming out, these undercover videos, they're going, you know, even people that once supported them are saying, this is horrific. This is terrible. And it's really kind of, you know, I don't know, made them more aware of the horrors of what happens day after day after day in these abortion mills. And so I don't know if it's going to make, you know, a huge difference in the end, or if this is just another news spike that we're going to, you know, eventually not, you know, think about anymore after, you know, it's out of the spotlight. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, if nothing else, it's getting people talking, and that's a good start. You know, wish it would go away tomorrow, but it won't. You know, we know that, but we're, you know, one step at a time. I have to admit a little frustration with some people on this issue, just because they try to find the nitpicks, you know, people who should know better are trying to find the nitpicks here, but best we can do is just support those who are doing it and, keep the issue on the forefront of people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the way the language is crafted with certain outlets that are more liberal, let's say, and more supportive of Planned Parenthood than other outlets that are, you know, horrified by what happens. It's just like, well, you could just hear it. It's so obvious to my ears when I hear, you know, alleged videos and sting videos and
exactly.
You know, trying to make it sound so, you know, like so awful that these people, you know, made these undercover videos. Well, anyway, we don't want to go into too much depth here. But
exactly.
Yeah, you're right, Maria. We need to pray for. And I can even sense, even on some of these outlets where, you know, that they would in general support this kind of activity or at least abortion. I'm starting to think that or feel or sense that some people that are even in general supportive are kind of more reluctantly supportive, that especially when they're hearing about some of these practices going on, they're thinking, yeah, this is kind of like beyond the pale. You know, this is a little bit over the line. So anyway, as Maria so, you know, rightly hinted, we should probably not go into too much depth in this. So,
Exactly.
But we all know what the Catholic Church says about it. And life is the way we should go. Pro-life. All right. Good pick. Thank you, Maria.
Yes.
Father.
Yeah, my pick. It's a book that I've just picked up recently for my reading in adoration, It's called Forget Not Love, The Passion of Maximilian Kolbe. And it really is kind of his life. It's more than just his time in Auschwitz and all that. It really is his life, but it's his life understood through the light of where his life led to. You know, so it talks about kind of his growing up and becoming a priest and, you know, a brother, a Franciscan brother, and so on, and the development of the Militia Immaculata and all that, you know, everything. And I'm not even halfway through it yet, but it's very well written book. It's by André Frassard, a French author, and then has been translated into English. It's actually an older book. According to Amazon, it came out in 1991, so it's actually about a 25-year-old book almost. Very well done, very interesting. One point that really stood out this week as I was reading it, where the author points out, says that, you know, Father Saint Maximilian never said, well, how can we talk to our modern people? How can we use the language of our modern people? And you'll hear people say that still in the church, you know, oh, how can we speak to the kids in their language? Instead, he spoke the truth of the gospel. He always promoted the truth of the gospel, and he did it out of love. And that's what converted people. Mm-hmm. He was very effective in converting people because he loved and he wished to give the gospel out of love and out of his example of life. So very, very interesting book, very much recommended. I've been enjoying reading it, and I've always been fascinated by Saint Maximilian because of course, how he died there at Auschwitz, but also his life in general, especially his devotion and love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, very deeply devoted to Our Lady.
And also, wasn't he very much involved with the new media of the time? I mean, he was kind of a new media.
Yeah, site. Actually, that's one thing. The funny thing the book kind of points out is, you know, of course, I can't remember the exact years of Saint Maximilian's life. But he actually was really in the forefront of Catholic printing as far as newspapers. At the time, the newspapers were kind of the, that's such a ridiculous media. Why would you be involved in newspapers? It's throwaway. The ink comes off. It's, you know, yeah, we've got book publishing. You know, the Catholic Church had been involved in books since, you know, Gutenberg and before. But as far as newspapers, doing newspaper printing, all that's secular. The Catholic Church shouldn't be involved in newspapers. Right. And St. Maximilian he dedicated much of his life to producing newspapers, Catholic newspapers, especially supporting his Militia Immaculata, his Militia of the Immaculate. And it's kind of funny to see the parallels from back then with newspapers. Now we think nothing of a diocese having a newspaper. Matter of fact, they're moving beyond newspapers, and back then, and how we use the new media today. You know, people say, well, why are Catholics involved on Facebook and Twitter? Why are they involved in podcasting? That's secular. We shouldn't be involved in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same exact arguments. It's pretty comical, actually.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckled when I read that.
History repeats itself.
Exactly.
And then going back to that whole, you know, thing, well, you got to figure out a way to communicate with them in their language. Well, the point you just made is so clear to me, is that love is a universal language. And if you're just expressing yourself with love, then everybody should be able to understand that.
Well, and it goes back to that article we read about, you know, the 8 points of social media, where, you know, we're to connect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're to connect.
Yeah, so you are using it. So it's more about what the purpose is as opposed to what the vehicle is. So
exactly.
The purpose is to connect. The vehicle happens to be social media because that's what we're using.
Exactly. But, and that's what Saint Maximilian did at his time with newspapers. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know, he used them to connect. Of course, a much less direct connection like we have today, but still it was very much his point of to promote the gospel, to claim the gospel, and to connect with the people who are reading it.
Absolutely. Well, excellent pick. The name of the book again?
Forget Not Love, The Passion of Maximilian Kolbe. And we will have the Amazon link with the SQPN Connect, SQPN tag, affiliate link, in the show notes.
Excellent. And my pick is as I like to do. I love gadgets and things to do with computers and electronic devices and that kind of thing. And I have, you know, my own folder here is a Catholic folder. And in it, I have, you know, and I've talked about many of these things before. Divine Office, iBravery, prayers. I haven't talked about that one in a while. Mass times, it's always helpful for me when I'm traveling, as I do a lot. Confession, just used that last weekend. Magnificat, etc. But one that I don't think I've mentioned before, and it's not a specifically Catholic app. It's called Bible Plus Maps, and it's by Olive Tree and HarperCollins Christian Publishing. And it's an app that, as you know, most likely can tell, is has the Bible in it. And it comes with, I think there's a free version and there's a paid version. I'm not sure which one I have. I'm looking at the iTunes store right now. This one I'm looking at in the store is $13.99, but I thought I got this thing for free, or maybe it was some kind of a special offer years ago. But anyway, like, for instance, when I went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, my penance was to look up some scripture, and I could have just grabbed a Bible, you know, off the shelf, but I had, you know, this information device, this computer in my hand, and I just went right over to Bible Plus Maps, fired it up, and I downloaded, you have to pay for the Revised Standard Version. There are several maps that come, Bibles that come with the app, but to get the one that I prefer using, which is the Revised Standard Version, you have to pay a couple bucks or something like that for it, and I think it has something to do with copyright or something. But anyway, so nice, because you can go to it. It's very easy to navigate. You just put in, you know, where, which book you want to go to, what verse, where you can just do a search for a term, and it takes you through and gives you a whole, you know, readout of your search results based on a phrase or a word you want to use or whatever. And I just find it's a really handy way to read the, and of course it's, you know, works on your tablet as well if you want something larger to read. And I love it. So that's my pick of the week, the Bible Plus Maps by Olive Tree.
Excellent. I just looked up, they have a similar app on Android as well. So okay. It's not just available for iOS, but also Android.
I would imagine so, yeah. They're a pretty big company.
Yep.
And I think, did you see if they had a free version? I think they do.
They've got the free version, which there are certain Bibles that are free to download, mm-hmm. and then you can do the in-app purchase, or, you know, purchase other apps, other version, other Bibles, so such like that.
That must be what I did, and I spent a little extra money on, you know, getting the Revised Standard Version, the RSV version. Yep. So that brings us to the end of the show, and at this point we talk about how we can learn more via that internet with the hosts
here. I'm just envisioning you as Steve Martin, maybe with an arrow through your head or something.
I was kind of picturing myself with a pipe.
Oh, you
know, holding a pipe.
Okay.
And I don't know.
A smoker's jacket and a pipe, huh?
I went down Steve Martin with an arrow in the head.
Well, that's probably more accurate. So, Maria, you have
Sir.
A blog. I know you do. How would one get to it?
Maria M. Johnson, or Mariam Johnson, depending on how you want to see it. And I'm starting to get email to Mariam.
That's Mariam. What I see when I see Mariam Johnson. I'm thinking.
Mariam is just another name for Mary, which is another name for Maria. So there you go.
There you go.
But you need to spell it out correctly in the URL. So, my blog. I'm blogging over there. And you can catch me on Twitter at Bago. And also, like my Facebook page, Maria Marrera Johnson, for the upcoming book, My Badass Book of Saints.
Oh, you had to get it in.
Courageous women who showed me how to live. And speaking of things, you know that I'm in September, on the 10th, I will be speaking at St. Peter Chanel.
Oh.
To the women's group. Yeah.
Wow. Which day? September 10th?
September 10th.
Yeah, I think I'll be flying.
I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Okay. I hope you do. Maybe I'll be able to see you. Let's see. So thank you, Maria. And Father Corey, how would we find more about you?
Well, you can listen to my homilies at frcorey.org, and you can find my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Steam account if you want. If you're into video gaming, you know, like the Pixel Priest, like Father Roderick, I play a few video games on occasion. At frcorystica, last name spelled STICHA.
Very cool. And I'm Captain Jeff, the airline pilot guy. You can find me on the Twitters and Facebooks and the worldwide web of pipes and things, airlinepilotguy.com. Yes.
Cats.
And the world of cats. If you want to know about flying cats, go to airlinepilotguy.com. And until next time, hope to see you again next week. And meantime, enjoy your Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.